All right, you guys, happy Wednesday. I'm so sorry that we're running late. Checking the chat right now. I love that somebody just said hello from Montenegro. I just love that you guys watch from all over. And I know that many of you guys are waiting up late if I'm running a few minutes late, but we were trying to fact check something, which I'm going to tell you about. Anyways, you know, the point is always that every day I strongly dislike the people that rule over us a little bit more. I maintain my position that lately I genuinely would prefer if they just came right out and said that we hate you all and we rule over you and there's really nothing you guys can do about it. That would feel better to me. Well, today we have Ghislaine Maxwell, who, after meeting with our Department of Justice, has been transferred into a prison that's really not a prison, right? It's not really a prison. It's kind of like going away on vacation. It's more like a sleepaway camp for the elites. So we're going to discuss that and assess whether or not we believe Trump when he says he had no idea that she was going there. Also, I sat down with Piers Morgan to discuss the Becoming Brigitte series. That man owes me money, but now he's upped the ante. He's saying $300K because he still believes that Brigitte Macron is a woman. Talk about all of that coming up right now on Candace. So it's na 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 boo boo. We can't touch them, right? We can't touch them. They are the elites. And the Ghislaine Maxwell rabbit hole just gets crazier and crazier. Because I'm telling you, they are laughing at us. They want us to know. So first and foremost, you're not going to believe me, but I got another legal letter. I did, because that's my life. I don't even have to advertise it anymore. But this legal letter was a little bit odd because it was pertaining to Jeffrey Epstein. And that man is dead. Dead as a doornail. How do we know that he's dead as a doornail? Well, because we got those two photos of him suspiciously. Those two photos of the New York Post's contracted photographer happened to be there, got the call, William Farrington. We did a whole episode on that. Very strange set of circumstances surrounding the morning that Jeffrey Epstein killed himself, right? Honestly, the entire week was very strange. The New York Post had the greatest week ever, really. Not only was William Farrington right place, right time, right angle of this photo of Jeffrey Epstein. See the proof? We've got the exclusive, said John Levine of the New York Post. They had the exclusive of him being carted in there. But then a couple of days later, they got the exclusive of Ghislaine Maxwell, who was just eating at In-N-Out, guys. Remember? She was just eating In-N-Out like a normal person. But then it turned out that the New York Post completely lied to us about everything. They photoshopped a weird poster, allegedly, that the people who owned that bus stop said, we never showed this movie poster, which is a little wink about pedophilia. And she's reading a book from the CIA. And actually, those photos came from her lawyer. The New York Post was covering Ghislaine Maxwell's tracks so that people would stop looking for her. Anyways, we were remarking that, look, the New York Post is kind of looking like it's a Mossad outfit. It always kind of has been that circumstance. And they never really had to answer for these fraudulent pictures that they tried to represent to the public as being totally legit that came from Ghislaine Maxwell's lawyers. And then earlier that week, you got this William Farrington guy who never wanted to do an interview about how he knew to be there. And we had trouble locating William Farrington. That seemed odd to us as well. Well, anyways, William Farrington has now reached out to us via a legal letter because we were going back and looking at those strange two photos that existed. And we shared his photo in the process on our social media site. And it turns out that those two photos that of Jeffrey Epstein being carted into New York Presbyterian Hospital, well, it turns out that he copywrote those photos. So you are actually not allowed to share those photos, even though it was like the most shared photograph in the world, because it was maybe the biggest story of 2019. Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. Well, he since has copywritten those photos. And we were actually glad about that because I'm happy to take down those social media posts, William Farrington. But it also allowed us to learn where William Farrington lived. You know, we're not here to dox him, but we were able to place him in Flatbush, Brooklyn, and able to really estimate how utterly implausible it is that he would have gotten from Flatbush, Brooklyn, all the way to New York Presbyterian Hospital in that timeline. I mean, someone would have had to call him at the prison, really, that morning and been like, hey, Jeffrey Epstein just killed himself really quick. He's coming in through this door. Get here as fast as possible. I think it's unlikely. I feel like we're all just kind of being lied to about Epstein. I don't even really believe that Epstein's dead. We're not getting any answers, right? We're not getting any answers about that orange blob, the mysterious orange blob, or the missing 3 minutes of footage. And like I said, a few days later, the New York Post then gets caught in a totally fraudulent photo scandal. So it doesn't help that it was their photojournalist, their contracted photojournalist, that happened to be at the right place at the right time. But anyways, let's discuss further Ghislaine Maxwell, right? Because the story gets even stranger beyond that. Just to recap your memory here, Ghislaine Maxwell gets arrested almost a year later to the date that Jeffrey Epstein got arrested. She got arrested on July 2nd, 2020. And then as people look like, you know, Jeffrey Epstein's dead, well, somebody's got to pay for this. People put a lot of pressure. We want to make sure somebody pays for it. It seems like Jeffrey Epstein got away with it somehow. And sure enough, it seemed that our Department of Justice delivered on that when it was determined on June 28, 2022, that Maxwell would spend the next 20 years of her life in prison. And we got to hear from Ghislaine Maxwell in 2020. Do you guys remember this? She gave a world exclusive interview. And in that interview, the tone of it was sort of, you should be feeling bad for Ghislaine Maxwell, right? Jeffrey Epstein's dead. Ghislaine Maxwell's rotting in prison. And really, what did Ghislaine Maxwell do wrong? Are we just kind of picking on Ghislaine Maxwell here? And also, they made it clear that she was living in terrible circumstances in prison. Just terrible for a woman that had dined and Robert Maxwell's daughter. And now she's really roughing it out in the prison house. Take a listen to just a clip from that interview.
What do you think, you made any mistake or just it's just a very bad luck? If you go back, if you look back, where do you think you should have done something different?
Meeting Epstein was the greatest mistake of my life. And obviously, if I could go back today, I would avoid meeting him. And I would say that that would be the greatest mistake I've ever made. And I would make different choices where I would work, obviously.
Do you consider yourself a victim of Epstein?
I don't particularly like the word victim. I think it's one that should be used very sparingly because, you know, today everybody is a victim of something, a victim of the pandemic, a victim of, you know, inflation. I've heard the word victim used about things that I don't like that word.
Just getting into this Epstein story, and you realize that that interview was meant to sanitize Ghislaine Maxwell. Like I said, to present her, she's not going to call herself a victim, but don't you guys kind of feel bad? Epstein's gone and she's in prison and she's rotting away. And what did she actually do? And she regrets having ever met him. But reflecting on it, they kind of lied about how she met him. Now that we know that her father brought him in to weapons and that this was really a Mossad operation, you look back and you're like, okay, everything that Ghislaine has even told us about her relationship with Jeffrey Epstein is weird. But why would who would want to sanitize this individual? Who would want to sanitize Ghislaine Maxwell in any capacity? This brings me actually to the person who conducted that interview. This is a woman named Daphne Barak. Now, she hasn't been on my mind in a long time. I actually received a tip. Somebody said, Candace, someone in a close tip that he is, in fact, being managed by someone. He has a handler, so to speak, and that woman is Daphne Barak. Okay, and I said, okay, interesting. I haven't been speaking about RFK Jr. It's weird that he's friends with Rabbi Shmuley. Instantly weird. It's weird that he's tweeting all the time about, like, anti-Semitism. Like, we sent you in to, like, clean up vaccines, not to tell us that, like, the new virus going around is anti-Semitism. All that's weird. And it just feels like he's being controlled. But this person, who I would say would know, was saying that Daphne Barak is kind of the person to look at. And I said to myself, I remember meeting this woman. I know this woman. That's what I said back. I know this woman. I went through my phone. I was like, I've had text messages with this woman. I remember her as being sort of an eccentric, what are we getting at here? And so I then tried to look up because I, at the time, like I said, I just knew her. I actually think I met her a few times at Mar-a-Lago during Trump's first administration. Again, I know her as just a journalist. I looked up what Daphne Barak has contributed. She spent 6 months with Amy Winehouse and her family. She wrote a book about Amy Winehouse, kind of had exclusive access to her and her family. Okay, that's interesting. I assume someone that's written books as she has written would have a Wikipedia. Well, she might actually be the first person ever, and I'm guessing here, I've never heard of it, who got her entire Wikipedia page wiped. Like, they said that the reason that they wiped this page was that there just wasn't enough primary sources. So then I asked the person, I'm like, the last name Barack, is there any chance that she is related to Ehud Barack, as in like the former prime minister of Israel? Because that would be, no, come on, that can't be it. Sure enough, he's able to pull up an old, the internet just archived this, which shows that, yeah, Daphne Barack is related, they say, as a cousin of Ehud Barack. Can't tell you who her parents are, but I can tell you that she's related to Ehud Barack. That's a fact. Okay, that is kind of interesting, you know, as we get into this Epstein story, especially because Ehud Barack is the person that was caught multiple times, former prime minister of Israel, going in and out of Jeffrey Epstein's home, right? Check out this article. This is from the Times of Israel. I'm going to read it directly. I'm going to quote this. It says, quote, former prime minister Ehud Barak met with the late disgraced financier and child sexual abuser Jeffrey Epstein dozens of times beginning in 2013, according to a new report on Wednesday by the Wall Street Journal. Barak was among the list of Jewish names, including pioneering linguist and left-wing activist Noam Chomsky, longtime Bard College president Leon Botstein, and filmmaker Woody Allen, listed in a newly uncovered private calendar for Epstein. The Wall Street Journal reported in the first part of its investigative series on the hugely influential Jewish donor who used his largesse to obscure what investigators, according to the Wall Street Journal's Wednesday report on the calendar's contents, Barack visited Epstein about 30 times between 2013 and 2017. At his estates in Florida and New York, including a time in 2014 when the former Israeli premier flew with Epstein on his private aircraft from Palm Beach to Tampa, after which Epstein went on to New York. Barack said his wife and an Israeli security guard were also on that flight. He said he flew with Epstein on his private planes on one other occasion, also with his wife and guards. According to the report, Barack also met with Epstein monthly for nearly a year, beginning in December of 2015. Okay. Let's not be conspiracy theorists. We don't need to be conspiracy theorists at all. Let's just be rational. That's what we always try to do. Let's just be rational here. You give me a reason. Somebody in the chat, make it make sense, all right? That the former prime minister of Israel, who at that time, by the way, there was a massive scandal. It's actually why he didn't get reelected. He was up against Netanyahu. Former prime minister of Israel would be meeting with a convicted pedophile. Okay, let's not forget. He did the deal and copped to, this is what I do. Maybe I've trafficked a few people that are underage. He did that back in 2007. So what would be the reason that, if you're a politician and you're running, don't you especially want to keep your hands clean, right? You're supposed to be like, I'm definitely not going to be caught in pictures. I'm definitely not going to be meeting with somebody who's convicted and who's a pedophile. That would be crazy. But Ehud Barak did that monthly, by the way, in 2015. What are these meetings about? Are you not busy? Are you not busy? Don't you have to like go, I don't know, do important political things in Israel? What are you doing here meeting with this guy? What do you, I would suggest, and hey, look, I'm going to check the chat because like I said, we don't need to be conspiracy theorists here, but I would imagine, given everything that we know about Jeffrey Epstein, that it would be reasonable to assume that these might have been intelligence briefings because he was controlling a blackmail ring, clearly, and that might be pretty useful if you're a politician. I'm guessing here, I'm surmising. And yet, by the way, we just telling you guys that today. And yet Pam Bondi, our Attorney General of the United States, says that she can find no evidence that Jeffrey Epstein may have been working on behalf of another state. Not even the photos of the former prime minister of Israel going in and out. And what's incredible, by the way, is that when you get further into that story with Ehud Barak, because then he has to explain away why he was hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein so much. He's like, no, I met Jeffrey Epstein through the former president of Israel. Oh, again, no evidence, no evidence whatsoever that Epstein was working for another state. He's just hanging out with the presidents and the prime ministers, and they are flying over to him in New York. I don't know, guys, when I take a look at this entire picture, everything that's happening right now in America from start to finish, all of this just feels like one big Mossad operation. We're supposed to imagine maybe Jeffrey Epstein really did kill himself. And yeah, by accident, 3 minutes from the prison, footage got deleted leading up to this moment where he killed himself. And yeah, the New York Post was kind of involved in some shady photography in the week that he killed himself. And yeah, we can't really explain away the orange blob that's on the screen that kind of makes it look like someone did go into his prison cell leading up to his quote-unquote suicide. I don't know, guys. Or we are a totally occupied nation, or our politicians have been completely rendered impotent as it pertains to the state of Israel because they've all been blackmailed in one way or another. And Jeffrey Epstein is actually the linchpin of everything. It's why they're protecting the story so much. And who's protecting that right now? Trump. Obviously, Trump. Don't even act surprised when he pardons Ghislaine Maxwell. That would just be foolish of you, foolish of me, to think that he's not going to pardon Ghislaine Maxwell, okay? Trump is implicated by his sheer deceit right now in this moment. He is being so deceitful. It's incredible. And it seems to only be getting worse because now they keep pretending that they're trying to get to the bottom of everything, but they don't actually get to the bottom of everything. They actually seem to just be covering things up. They're making moves that only reveal a deeper cover-up. Case in point, remember this whole bit? We're going to be the first to actually interview Ghislaine Maxwell. I know we fumbled the ball, and now we're saying that there is no list. But hey, you know what? To show a true measure here, we are going to go interview Ghislaine Maxwell in prison, okay? This is Pam Bondi's tweet to that effect. She tweeted this on July 22nd, which was a statement from the Deputy Attorney General, Todd Blanche. It reads, "This Department of Justice does not shy away from uncomfortable truths, nor from the responsibility to pursue justice wherever the facts may lead. The joint statement by the DOJ and the FBI on July 6th remains as accurate today as it was when it was written, namely that in the recent thorough review of the files maintained by the FBI in the Epstein case, no evidence was uncovered that could predicate an investigation against uncharged third parties." That's amazing to me. "President Trump has told us to release all credible evidence. If Ghislaine Maxwell has information about anyone who has committed crimes against victims, the FBI and the DOJ will hear what she has to say. Therefore, at the direction of Attorney General Bondi, I have communicated with counsel for Ms. Maxwell to determine whether she would be willing to speak with the prosecutors from the Department of Justice. I anticipate meeting with Ms. Maxwell in the coming days. Until now, no administration on behalf of the department has inquired about her willingness to meet with the government. That changes now." Thank you, Todd Blanche. So they sent Todd Blanche, the Deputy Attorney General, and I should mention also one of Trump's former lawyers. He was Trump's lawyer on the criminal case in Manhattan, which was it was total nonsense, and it was a show trial. But he was Trump's attorney at that time. And that is who they sent down to go speak and inquire with Ghislaine Maxwell to see if she had any information about anybody else who could have committed crimes involving Jeffrey Epstein. And what came out of that meeting was news that Ghislaine Maxwell was being transferred to an even lower security prison. She's already in a low security prison, but they're now transferring her into an even lower security prison, which is known as Camp Bryan. And remarkably, when questioned about this, Trump says that he didn't even know that that was happening. Like he's learning with the rest of us. Take a listen.
Two questions for you. One, were you aware of and did you personally approve the prison transfer for Ghislaine Maxwell that your Justice Department?
I didn't. It's not a very uncommon thing.
Do you believe that she's credible to be listening to? Your Deputy Attorney General sat down with her recently.
Well, he's a very talented man. His name is Todd Blanche. He's a very legitimate person, very high, just a very highly thought of person, respected by everybody. And I didn't talk to him about it, but I will tell you that whatever he asked would be totally appropriate, and it's not an uncommon thing to do that. And I think he probably wants to make sure that, you know, people that should not be involved or aren't involved or not hurt by something that would be very, very unfortunate, very unfair to a lot of people. But I will say this, Todd Blanche is one of the most highly respected people you'll ever meet. So I know this. I didn't discuss it with...
Totally above board, not unusual. But the best part of that actually is what he says in the middle, and I'm going to quote it here directly. He says, and I think, referring to Todd Blanche, and I think that he probably wants to make sure that people that should not be involved or aren't involved are not hurt by something. That would be very, very unfortunate and very unfair to a lot of people. Keep saying that. You keep saying that. It's changed to the Epstein files. He's saying, like, you know, people are going to get swept up in this, and it wouldn't be fair to these people to be swept up in this. Why does he keep offering that? Well, the obvious answer is because he himself and other people around him would be implicated. And that's the real reason. That's actually him being honest. Like, Todd Blanche's job is to go there and to make sure that unfair things don't happen to people that could get swept up in this. And if you're Todd Blanche, how do you do that? You're talking to Ghislaine Maxwell, and you want me to believe she sits down and she says, oh, nothing happened. It was above board. The worst thing was just me meeting him. I'm not a victim. I don't like to use the word victim, but I wish I had never met him. I wish I had never met him at all. We're supposed to believe that that's what happened, or that they came to some agreement and some understanding, and maybe she's going to testify and say that nobody did nothing. And in turn, they're transferring her to, I'm not even going to call it a prison. That's insulting to all of us. Okay, you and I would never go here if we committed a crime. We don't get to, you have to be in the elite of the elite of the elite, and probably not even serving our country in terms of the crimes that you are committing to get transferred into this particular prison, okay? Now, before I tell you about that prison, I first want to let you know that regarding his point that this is totally normal, actually people have come out who have their credentials and said this is the most abnormal thing I've ever seen. One such person is Vito Maraviglia, who is a retired federal prison special investigative agent. And he said in an interview that in his 27 years on the job, he cannot recall a single instance in which a sex offender was moved to a prison camp. Okay. He wanted to say that placing Maxwell there meant that it would be easier for her to escape or for someone on the outside to target her on the camp's grounds. Okay, so like, oh my gosh, a suicide happened. We had no idea. Or she just like can leave. And he said, quote, the logic to me is just not there. It doesn't pass the smell test. Similarly, a guy named Robert Hood, who's a former Bureau of Prisons chief, came out and echoed that sentiment. He said in an email that Maxwell's transfer to Camp Ryan is, quote unquote, a travesty of justice. He said, quote, to relocate a sex offender serving 20 years to a country club setting is offensive to victims and others serving similar crimes and others that are serving similar crimes. Okay. Now, let me tell you a little about this camp, because maybe you don't believe him when he says that it's a country club, but I think a picture can be worth 1,000 words in this regard. So somebody else that's also at that camp, which I find to be remarkably suspicious, is Elizabeth Holmes. Now, you might remember the name Elizabeth Holmes because Elizabeth Holmes was just a flat-out fraud, okay? She put together that company Theranos. They claimed that they had created this technology that had never existed before that could just take one drop of your blood and tell you everything you want to know about your life, just everything. And that's it. She had created this technology, and then it all fell apart. It took out that she took all this money, like what was it valued at? Like $500 million, all of this money from investors, and she completely lied and kind of got away with it. And a lot of people were implicated, but she's the one that ended up taking the fall for this. And they put her here. They put her in. Look at her. She's happy. This is her being photographed at the quote unquote prison. I don't even know how her hair is that color. I would imagine she's been there for a few years now. That maybe that would have grown out. Maybe it didn't. Maybe there's a place in Camp Ryan where you can just get your hair done. It sounds like it. It seems relaxing. She looks relaxed, right? I would say this just seems like a weekend getaway. Like you're like, I just need to go to the Hamptons. I need to go to Camp Ryan and just relax. I'm really stressed out at the job. That's where she is. She's got lipstick on. Pull that back up. She's got lipstick on. We're supposed to believe this is a real prison, you guys. She's holding weights and she's smiling. And this is where they're putting Ghislaine Maxwell. And one of the best things about the Elizabeth Holmes story and the whole Theranos scandal is it's giving Jeffrey Epstein, and that these people that commit these absurd financial crimes, they all kind of go to Camp Ryan. And Elizabeth Holmes, by the way, like, she's kind of got like a family of frauds, like unknown. And they say, oh, well, her dad left Enron before it all went down. It's like the Epstein stuff, right? Epstein left always before the companies, the financial companies were going down. Elizabeth Holmes' father worked at Enron. Yeah. And she actually goes back. She's like a very old, wealthy billionaire family. They were also scamming, a big pharma scam about yeast, telling Americans to take a teaspoon of yeast. Mark, what's the name of the company? That's her family. Is it Fleischmann? Yeah, she's a member of the Fleischmann family, like Fleischmann yeast. And it's interesting. You get into Elizabeth Holmes' rabbit hole. You're like, oh, every generation, there just seems to be someone who is involved with or working for a company that then kind of turns into like a big fraudulent deal. Again, just to be clear, her father left Enron before everything went down. But that's interesting that she's at that Camp Ryan. And speaking of Enron, so was the person who should have been the number one person that went down for the Enron scandal, which was Fasto. He's also in prison, is also at Camp Ryan. So it's just kind of a who's who of who committed a financial crime, and we're going to like pretend that they're in trouble. They're actually going to be at Camp Ryan, which is a country club. I don't even know if they're at Camp Ryan, if they're just like kind of, I don't know, there's like a place in the back that just takes them off on a private jet. And this is just kind of for us. And the got to get the paparazzi. It's probably William Farrington who caught the snap of Elizabeth Holmes out there. Just like one big simulation because the world is a stage. But that's how I'm feeling right now. Like, the world is just so definitely a stage. And they are just moving her into this even lower security prison because they're laughing at us and they don't care. And it's so obvious that she's going to be pardoned. Of course, she was working for the government that really rules over us. She's working for Israel. They were all working for Israel. You can't get in trouble if you're doing stuff for Israel. That seems to be a running theme here. You can't get in real trouble if you're working for Israel, if your allegiance is at first to that country. Anyways, it's just remarkable to see all of this happening. And I wanted to show you guys that. And you should go through to see the list, the who's invite list. It's like getting into a club, a very expensive private members club, getting into Camp Ryan. And all the best criminals seem to get in there, even when they commit sex crimes, like Ghislaine Maxwell. Okay, before we get into this next story, I want to remind you guys about GNO land, because what if smart contract platforms weren't controlled by elites or big tech? What if they were built by and for real builders? You know, the people, that is the question that GNO land asked themselves, and that's why they built GNO land. They started with Golang, which is a language real world developers already use, and they built a new platform around it. It's transparent, it's intuitive, and it just makes sense. There's not some confusing system of ones and zeros. It's open source, so you can imagine GitHub, but designed for on-chain collaboration and composability. Builders actually get credit for their work, and they get rewarded every time their code gets used. That's the real value. It's not likes. It's not clout. It's actual rewards. GNO Land rejected proof of stake, which is a system where the rich run the show. They went with proof of authority instead, a DAO where contributors and not bad actors or Silicon Valley actually call the shots. GNO Land is open, it's fair, and it's honestly pretty unstoppable. So if you are a builder and a freedom lover or just tired of rigged platforms, you should definitely check it out over at gno.land/Candace. Again, that's gno.land/Candace. Also remind you guys about American Financing, because if you could delay your next two mortgage payments, why wouldn't you? Imagine putting those payments in your pocket and finally getting a little breathing room. It's possible when you call American Financing today. If you're feeling stretched by everyday expenses with groceries, gas, and bills that are piling up, you're not alone. Most Americans are putting these expenses on their credit cards, and there doesn't seem to be a way out. American Financing can show you how to use your home's equity to pay off that debt. You just have to call American Financing today before you get to a point where you can't make those payments. Their salary-based mortgage consultants are helping homeowners just like you restructure their loans and consolidate debt, all without any upfront fees, and their customers save an average of $800 a month, which is like a $10,000 raise. It's fast, it's simple, and it could save your budget this summer. So don't wait any longer. Call American Financing today. The number is 800-795-1210. Again, that's 800-795-1210. Or you can visit AmericanFinancing.net/Owens. Again, AmericanFinancing.net/Owens. All right, you guys. I guess there already is, by the way, a photo. There isn't a photo of Ghislaine Maxwell up in new prison, but we'll keep you posted on that story. I want to tell you guys, going back into Macron land, it's just been crazy to see people, I feel, that I've been so disingenuous covering this story. I don't know how you can cover this story without watching the series. I don't know how it works. You could read through a legal lawsuit and develop a legal assessment without having watched the series. Anyways, it's going to get fun no matter what, obviously. Everyone's paying attention. And the reason why everyone's paying attention to this, and I'm grateful to see so many of you guys are like fighting in the comment sections, because we now recognize this story is about something so much bigger, right? So much bigger. We know what is happening in this world, okay? That we have these perverts that not just have power, but they all cover each other. Like I was on Alex Jones this morning and I was just venting my frustration. The more that I think about it, the more absurd it is. Now, the Trump administration, who purports to care about free speech, that was what they ran on. Of course, they're not doing any of that stuff anymore. They're creating DEI for Israel and pushing through laws to redefine antisemitism. But they pretended to care about free speech. And you had J.D. Vance, who went over there to Europe and gave a whole speech, tisk, tisk, to all of you European leaders that are no longer listening to what your constituents want and are instead punishing them for their speech. If the majority of your constituents think something, you can't create laws and punish them. Like, right, that was kind of the gist of his speech. Like, the markets have decided what they want, and now you're punishing these people. That's crazy, he said. America's going to be a leader. Then you have a literal European leader that is basically saying F you to the American Constitution, right? Emmanuel Macron and Brigitte Arsène and Trump have not issued a statement. In fact, where are the journalists even asking them to make a statement? Okay, a state leader is speaking about your constituent and launching a lawsuit and saying you're going to impoverish them for executing their First Amendment right. Where are you? If you are Trump, the first thing you should have done, if you purport to care about America and our constitution, as you're supposed to be the person that's defending that day in and day out, you would come out and you would say, I don't even know whether I believe that she's a man or woman. Doesn't matter, right? I didn't watch the series. Fair. He didn't watch the series. He could even say, like he said to me on the phone, that I looked at her real close on the Eiffel Tower. And it looked like a woman to me. Okay, you can say all those things, but you should say it's unacceptable. I'm a leader of this country, and it is unacceptable that this leader would threaten the First Amendment in any way. We don't need Pam Bondi rushing to issue a statement about a college male that's been shoved by a student for wearing an IDF shirt, okay? We don't need the federal government getting involved on something so meaningless. But we might need our federal government when it comes to this. Okay, the job of the federal government is to defend us against foreign invaders. And I would pretty much say Emmanuel Macron right now is being a foreign invader. But no, they're silent. They are silent. And that's a pretty loud silence right now. Because like, if I remove myself out of the situation, it is crazy that Trump has been silent on this matter. Especially after Emmanuel Macron flew and tried to get Trump to shut me up. He knows what Emmanuel Macron is doing and how desperate he is to do it. So why is he allowing this attack on our speech? It's crazy. Anyways, Piers Morgan, who owed me almost $150,000 US dollars after making the first bet regarding the defamation claim, is basically coming at me like triple or nothing. And he had me on his show. I think it aired yesterday evening. And we discussed the Brigitte Macron case. And here is Piers coming to me and deciding that he still thinks she's a woman and wanting to go double or nothing or triple or nothing. Take a listen.
Last time we discussed this on Uncensored, I bet you $150,000 that you were wrong and that she's a woman. On X, when we discussed this further, I doubled it. This is for charity, to $300,000. You haven't accepted that yet. So right now, $300,000 to charity. I say she's a woman. Are you prepared to take that bet?
I am 1,000% prepared to take that bet. I actually didn't see your tweet or I would have accepted it live. So we can totally accept that bet.
Okay.
I believe Brigitte Macron is a male and that they will not be presenting any evidence to the contrary because they would have done it already.
Okay. Candace, I appreciate you coming on Uncensored. I think you're completely wrong. But we shall see. I think the great thing about this action is we're going to get to the bottom of this extraordinary story. Thank you very much indeed for coming back on.
I'll be back to get my money, Pierce.
We shall see. I'm very confident.
What are we going to spend that money on when it comes in? Because outside of just total and complete corruption of the courts, this is a no-win situation for the Macrons. Like you, it would have to be just an unbelievably corrupt court that was willing to start to actually put in place an incredible precedent of penalizing Americans for speech against foreign leaders, which maybe they are actually at that moment. Because like I discussed with Alex Jones this morning, we are seeing never before, and like never before, an incursion on our speech Alex Jones was showing clips of leaders of Facebook, Zionist leaders of Facebook. He even showed a clip, which I've never seen before, which I probably should have pulled before the show, of Sacha Baron Cohen standing up and speaking about how we need to arrest people. We have to start arresting people that are anti-Israel. And I want to be clear, guys. I would not take these things to be idle threats anymore, okay? We've got, for whatever reason, when it comes to speech, we can only have Zionists in power when it comes to social media, right? So he showed a clip of the person that's leading up the hate speech department at Facebook. We've shown you before the people that are leading up the hate speech laws over at TikTok. For whatever reason, the people that are in charge of speech always have to be Zionists. And when we hear them speak, there is always being floated this idea that we need to start arresting people, right? Even David Friedman, when he's speaking about me and Tucker, they're like dangling this of like, if it gets too crazy, we're going to have to start arresting people. And that might have seemed like such a far out idea to us, where we didn't even care if someone said that was going to be the inevitability a few years ago. But given everything that's taken place this year, we better take those charges to be deadly serious, those threats to be deadly serious. Because if these same people are putting in place these policies because we are noticing a genocide, right? And they're allowed to do this, and now they've infiltrated the Trump campaign. Essentially, it's now being run by the ADL. That means that we are inching ever closer to that reality. I'm not kidding. I am saying that we at this moment need to get radical when it comes to speech. Radical when it comes to speech, because it will just go away, you guys, in a moment's notice. And the fact that so many people are still getting up there and lying to us willfully about what is happening in Gaza. The fact, as Alex Jones showed me, that there was a clip of Mike Huckabee in this moment from like last week, saying that Israel is like the most moral army in the world. Like, that's insane. That is totally insane. Outside of you being unbelievably ignorant about what's happening there, which I won't accept that. Obviously, he's the ambassador to Israel. He knows exactly what's going on there. Why are you saying that? They're going to have to crush speech. They literally are going to have to crush speech in order for the genocide to happen. And by the way, that's happened in the past. Don't forget when the journalists first came for me last year and they tried to dress it up as Candace Owens is defending Joseph Mengele and she's a Holocaust denier. The reality was I was showing clips because I was shocked to learn that we executed a genocide against Germans, right? After World War II, during a time of peace, made them march, we're murdering them, we're taking their belongings during a time of peace. This is what the Allies did to the Germans. You wanna know why it took us forever to learn about that in America? And you wanna know why they freaked out when I presented that to my audiences? Because they passed speech laws following World War II. I'll ask you guys a question. Why would you need to pass speech laws if you're telling the truth? Serious question. If you are on the side of telling the truth, why on earth would you need to pass speech laws? Why would you suddenly say we're going to have to start arresting people? If people have the wrong ideas, then we're just going to have to start making arrests. It's because you're lying. You're lying about something, and that something has got to be something pretty big, like, you know, like a whole genocide happening in Gaza, a whole genocide happening to the German people post-World War II during a time of quote-unquote peace from the good guys, the Allies. When you are lying, you begin to insist that you need speech laws because when you're telling the truth, you want a debate. That's the reality. I don't shy away from debates and shy away from discussions because the truth is on my side. I don't care. I want to expose somebody as a liar so you would foster those conversations. For whatever reason, I find that Zionists love the idea of speech laws. They love the idea of redefining and expanding the definition of anti-Semitism. They love the idea of, and I'm not kidding, earlier today on Twitter, I almost LOL'd, of programming Grok, an AI tech, to think that the expression synagogue of Satan, talking about the synagogue of Satan, which is literal biblical scriptures, it's in Revelations 3:9, is an anti-Semitic trope. It allows them, it gives them so much power when they are able to do these sorts of things, right? When they're able to say, oh, actually, even saying this stuff, even if it's true, it amounts to racism or anti-Semitism. And that's what we're charging you against. It's not that you didn't tell the truth. It's that we don't like what you said. And by the way, guys, that's the Macron lawsuit in a nutshell. You know, I got really annoyed yesterday. People were tagging me and telling me, and Megyn Kelly did this segment, and, you know, she's like, oh, it's totally level-headed. I'm going to say I think Candace is going to win the Macron lawsuit. But she shows she has on two lawyers that are discussing this lawsuit that haven't watched the series. And that, to me, feels disingenuous. If you're going to speak about this, at least show a clip of the series. At least have someone on who has watched the series. How can you even assess the allegations that they're bringing forth without having seen the series? How do you not know that this is just, which is exactly what it is, a Justin Baldoni-type lawsuit filed by Blake Lively where it's a PR move and you have no idea what they're saying? There's no context to a legal filing until you said. There's something about that where it's like we need to hold people with platforms to a better standard. It is your job to try to get to the bottom of the truth. I try to do my best. Honestly, the reason why we were delayed on today's episode was because me and my team were debating as we were getting into William Farrington's copyrights, whether or not he was an asset or whether he really was just a journalist that got there on time. We are having an hour debate about that because we want to make sure that wherever we're presenting to you, it's actually based in reality. I mean, Mark was so down far the rabbit hole. He's talking to me about like click speeds of the camera. Like, I don't know anything about tech. I don't think about a camera, Mark. I'm like, what do you mean the click speed of the camera? How many shots it could have gotten in one go? That's how committed we are to trying to get to the bottom of the truth when we present it here. And it seems like everyone else is just kind of lazy. They don't really care. They don't really care if there's a bunch of sexual perverts that are in power, right? I'm going to cover it because it's a big story, but whatever. I'm going to try to present it as if, like, you know, Candace is going down a rabbit hole. That's not important. We all just have to do better is kind of the point that I'm making here. Because I'm getting so remarkably frustrated with people that hold the veneer of being committed to truth. But it's all such low-hanging fruit. It's stuff that doesn't actually matter, you know? We're brushing up against real corruption and real evil. And so few people have the courage to discuss what the implications are. And the implications are that, well, Satan has inherited the earth, is the best way I would say it. It's dark and it's so sinister. And the only way that we're going to be able to shed light on these things is if we have the courage to. And that's why I thank you guys from the bottom of my heart every time I see anybody's comment section where they're talking about the Brigitte case, because so millions of you guys have watched it. You guys have just been defending me and being like, this is crap. You didn't watch the series. You don't understand how important the story is. And yes, of course, we do believe that Brigitte Macron is a man. So we will see, peers. We will definitely see whether or not she is a man and whether or not any of you actually care about free speech. Anyways, before I get into some of your comments, I'm going to talk to you guys about Pure Talk, because how many times have you heard the phrase, if it ain't broke, don't fix it? That's great advice for most things, but not so much for a cell phone. Over time, a phone's battery life fades, a processor can't keep up, and it's been dropped one too many times. Fortunately, thanks to Pure Talk, your cell phone is something that you can replace. When you switch to Pure Talk this month, they will give you a free Samsung Galaxy A36 with a $35 qualifying plan. Just $35 a month, that means, for talk, text, data, and a free Samsung phone with scratch-resistant Gorilla Glass and a battery that lasts all day. All in America's most dependable 5G network, supporting companies like Pure Talk is a win-win. You win by cutting your cell phone bill in half. They win by hiring more Americans and helping more veterans. So make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. Go to puretalk.com/Owens and you'll get a free phone today. Again, that's puretalk.com/Owens to switch to my wireless company and America's wireless company, Pure Talk. Also reminding you guys about 7 Weeks Coffee, because we all drink coffee, the majority of us do, and you might as well do good while you're drinking coffee. And 7 Weeks Coffee is America's pro-life coffee company that's on a mission to fund the pro-life movement one cup of coffee at a time. They just hit an amazing milestone, over $1 million donated to pro-life movement. And why are they called 7 Weeks? Well, because at 7 weeks, a baby is the size of a coffee bean. It's also the same time a heartbeat is clear to detect on an ultrasound, and that's why they donate 10% of every sale to support pregnancy care centers across all 50 states, providing life-saving ultrasounds, resources for moms in need, and real hope for families. And it all started with one simple idea, using your morning coffee to stand for life. 7 Weeks Coffee is more than a great tasting coffee. It's mold-free, pesticide-free, shade-grown, low-acid, and organically farmed. It checks all the boxes. So go ahead and head to 7weekscoffee.com and you'll save 15% forever if you subscribe, and you will get a free gift as well. Plus, exclusively for my listeners, if you use code Candace at checkout, you'll get an extra 10% off. So that's a total of 25% of savings on your first order, plus a free gift. Remember that your order will directly help support a network of over 1,000 pro-life organizations across the U.S. Go ahead and visit 7weekscoffee.com and use promo code Candace today. All right, you guys, what is on your mind? I know we have been covering some hard-hitting topics. We just started, by the way, yesterday, The Assault on Truth, the introduction to that book. If you're not in the book club, please buy the book. Like, you're never going to understand what's happening until we put it in the context of theology. Of course, Sigmund Freud, the guy who is out here trying to gaslight children who said that they were sexually assaulted by their parents. Again, this recurring theme of incest and pedophilia. Of course, he studied in Paris. Of course, Paris is when he had this big idea that actually, first, Sigmund Freud came out and said, I've looked at the evidence and these kids are actually all being molested by their parents and they're not lying. And then he does this remarkable 180, Sigmund Freud, and he goes and studies in Paris and he comes back and he has a new perspective. And his perspective is, no, these kids are attracted to their parents. Yeah, Paris, man, special place. It's a very special place for all the wrong reasons. And that's not to, by the way, discount the Parisians and the people in France. They are the largest audience behind me because they have had their speech taken away from them. They are watching this. They believe Brigitte Macron is a man, and they're watching the Élysée Palace pluck off journalists, go after journalists for trying to get out the truth. Again, it doesn't matter if it's true. It matters if they want you to tell the truth. That's what the picture looks like in Europe, and I am telling you right now, we are seeing that first incursion in the United States where they're trying to affect the same thing. Anyways, let me get into some of your comments. I'm going on a rant because I'm pretty passionate about this. BC writes, Candace, I have a question about your Trump phone call. What was Emmanuel Macron supposedly doing to end the war? The only people who can end it are either Trump by stopping the weapons, Putin by withdrawing, or Zelensky by agreeing to give up Donbas. Emmanuel Macron seems irrelevant. So what Trump said to me was that he needed Emmanuel Macron's signature on something. So my obviously it would be the EU. Emmanuel Macron's signature would be needed. If you were doing some deal with the EU, it would require cooperation from Macron. And he made that very clear that he needed Macron's cooperation and that Macron had thus far been cooperative with his administration. So obviously Trump didn't relay to me the intricacies of what that was, but that was my understanding from the phone call. Sarah D writes, listening to you on Piers, and I wanted to let you know that even if you are wrong about Brigitte, which you are not, your fans will still continue to love and support you. Your career will not end for this. Yeah, I am not at all, never at all, that the evidence was overwhelming. I mean, it's such a crazy, like I said, I was on the side of rationality, just going, oh my God, this is so crazy. Of course it can't be true. And then when I looked at the evidence, it's so overwhelming that it's ridiculous that other journalists would not be jumping on this and telling the story. It's so crazy, the gaslighting that's taking place, this Freud-level gaslighting that is taking place across the world regarding Brigitte Macron. It's just, it's nutty, Frank, to be frank. And maybe that's the wrong word to use. Every time you use a word about this, it never seems to be the right fit. Piers said yesterday, you've got balls, and said maybe that wasn't the right terminology to use. But it does frankly seem nutty to me that it's the biggest story in the world, actually, and nobody wants to touch it. And there's a reason for that, because the mainstream media journalists recognize that the perverts are in control and you can't mess with those people. That's my viewpoint. Anyways, Angela A writes, Candace, if the U.S. election were to happen again, who would you vote for? I wouldn't, if you're telling me it's between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, I would still vote for Trump, right? Because I don't think whether it was Kamala or Trump, it was going to make a difference on the Israel note. I think both sides of the aisle have demonstrated that they're pretty committed to Israel. So that wouldn't have changed anything. And at least on like topics of trade and other areas, I do think Trump does put America first. Just it's impossible to put America first if you put Israel first. So yeah, I would still vote for Trump. Lover of Light writes, I don't want to know a world without Candace. Please be so careful, Candace. We love you dearly. That's really sweet. I appreciate you guys. And I do this because of you guys, because of your support. And first and foremost, because of my children. Like I said, if we're going to be cowards, this is going to be the world that our children are going to inherit. And they've turned us all into cowards by distracting us. We're so comfortable. It's so easy to be a coward when you're so comfortable. You don't even know what a day of hard work is. People complain if they have to work 8 hours, 5 days a week. Right? We're like, oh gosh, I just like the weekend's not long enough. Meanwhile, like you go back one, two generations and like your grandparents were working with their hands. Like my granddad was a sharecropper, 5 years old, working out in the fields, laying tobacco out to dry in North Carolina. And then I find myself being like, oh, such a long day today. I had to do a press hit and a podcast. Like we're ridiculous. They wanted us to be ushered into this idea of comfort because they know that that breeds cowardice. Like it just breeds complacency and cowardice. Ziana writes, oh, Skylar, just Skylar being my podcaster. Don't worry, Ziana, I'm still going to get to you. But Skylar has put something in yellow, which means that it needs my attention. And he writes, from the control room. Trump just called Epstein's situation a hoax and bullshit while taking questions in the Oval Office. Okay, Skylar, run the clip.
Is Vice President Vance hosting a gathering this evening to talk about how to respond to the Epstein situation?
Is he working on what?
Is he hosting some kind of gathering of top advisors this evening to talk about how to respond to the Epstein situation?
I don't know. I could ask you that question. I don't know of it, but I think here's the man right here.
I saw a report today, and it's completely fake news. We're not meeting to talk about the Epstein situation, and I think the reporter who reported it needs to get better sources.
Look, the whole thing is a hoax. It's put out by the Democrats because we've had the most successful 6 months in the history of our country, and that's just a way of trying to divert attention to something that's total bullshit, okay?
I just want to know which part specifically is total bullshit. Like, which part specifically? Is he saying that, like, Trump, that he wasn't blackmailing people and that former Mossad agent Ari Ben-Menash was lying about that? Is he saying that, like, you know, he was, that it's bullshit to suggest that he was working for the Mossad at all? Is he saying that it's bullshit to suggest that he was found guilty and got a sweetheart deal for some unknown reason? Is it bullshit to suggest that your own Secretary of Labor under your first term, Alexander Acosta, said that he was told to leave Jeffrey Epstein alone because someone from a higher pay grade told him, even though he was the presiding judge, to just look the other way and allow him to sign the sweetheart deal despite the fact that he had molested children? Is that all BS? Like, is Alexander Acosta lying? Your own Labor Secretary, was he lying then? Everybody's lying. What part specifically is bullshit? That'd be my question. I think that's a fair question to ask, right? Ziana K writes, I think the Greater Israel campaign includes America. It's Make America Great Again, right? The elites seem really bored and their entertainment comes at a cost for us. That's interesting. So the idea that Israel is not just expanding its borders literally into Syria, which they've done. It's everything they're doing right now. I said this on the Alex Jones show earlier. I'm like, even if you, we're just talking about Gaza, they're involved everywhere. Their fingers are everywhere where Christians are dying. It's so funny when they're like, you don't want to talk about Syria. It's like, no, we've already spoken about what's happening in Syria. We already said, I said, if Assad goes down, Christians are going to die. And the neocons laughed at that assertion. They applauded when Assad went down. And they applauded it because they are Operation Mockingbird for Netanyahu's aims to expand Israel's borders. In order to execute the fall of Assad, Israel, factually, you can look this up in the Israeli media, funded al-Nusrat, al-Qaeda adjacent. They funded the Islamic terrorists. I gotta tell you one thing. To be an Islamic terrorist, you sure as hell have to be a Zionist. just like every time we get radical Islam, they seem to be helping Israel. Even when the towers went down, right? Oh, radical Islam. Then you got Bibi Netanyahu being like, this was good. This was good for Israel. It just happens to be radical Islam is so good for Israel. And despite their proximity to Israel, like for whatever reason, they're not like they're going after like Christians. And let's not forget that Israel is funding the weapons for Azerbaijan to murder Armenians, right? Nobody cares about that. Nobody cares. They're like, we give Israel money, and then Israel is giving arms to Azerbaijan to go after Armenian Christians. Yep, they're in that territory as well. Nobody cares. And they're like, oh, what about the Congo? Christians are dying in the Congo. Have you heard of Dan Gertler, anybody? Do you want to look up Dan Gertler for us? George, just like, it's amazing. What is Israel, like the number one? Are they at the epicenter for like the diamond trade, which is amazing because like diamonds, last I checked, you don't mine diamonds in Israel. How did they do that? Can you look up Dan Gertler? That's a nice person to look up. I mean, then don't even forget they unmasked some guy that was down in the Congo. I should have had this story ready, but can you pull him up, Skylar? Yeah, Dan Gertler. There was this guy who was pretending, and it was down in Congo, and I'll have this for you tomorrow and get specific about it, but there was a guy who was masked and murdering people, and they caught him, and they unmasked him, and he actually was Israeli, and I guess we were supposed to believe, I don't know, that he was like a radical Islamic guy, but he actually was Israeli. Do you have Dan Gertler ready? Yeah. Here we go. Billionaire under sanctions could get $300 million in controversial U.S. Congo deal. you're interested in what's going on in Congo, I would probably start with Dan Girdler. Yeah, that would be a good. But again, oh my gosh, they're everywhere. For some reason, like when you look into these situations, they're telling you that like noticing that is wrong and it's anti-Semitic that Israel always somehow is involved in these random places. But why isn't it somebody else? Why aren't we like unmasking a guy? Why isn't it as opposed to Dan Girdler that's involved there? Why isn't it like just like some random person from, I don't know, Canada? For some reason, it's always Israel. It's always Israel. And it is so foolish for us not to admit that. And we better admit that and say it before they start arresting us for our speech, crushing us for our speech, impoverishing us for our speech, which is their aim with me at this moment. Ziana K, I've already got to your comment. BM writes, Candace, have you considered the possibility of evidence being faked to win the case? It would not be surprising. How do you plan to combat this? Look, all I can do is pray. Right? We can't combat corruption of the courts. We understand that. Everything we cover on this show, we've been speaking about the corruption of the courts. Even when you're somebody who gives your entire life, as Harvey Weinstein did to the ADL, you can get taken out in a moment's notice. I'm still interested in who Harvey Weinstein pissed off, because it was definitely somebody. He was the kind of guy who went there with powerful people. He was the kind of guy, somebody told me a story. I sat down with Harvey Weinstein, and Harvey Weinstein ate off of their plate. Could you imagine if you sit down with this guy and he's being so obnoxious and he wants you to know that it's a power move? So he takes you to a restaurant, you're talking, and he just eats off of your plate. That's a power move, right? So I'm imagining, like, if Harvey Weinstein, look at that case, you're like, what happened here? The courts can just, and I'm not someone who gives tons of money to the ADL. In fact, I'm somebody that's on the ADL's list, and I'm talking about the stuff that the ADL has covered up, the stuff that they've lied about, their origin story, which is a story about gangsters in America that wanted to pretend that they were establishing the Anti-Defamation League, because their theory is you accuse other guys of exactly what you're doing. They defame people. So they call themselves the Anti-Defamation League. And that story is crazy, that they defended Leo Frank, who murdered a Catholic girl, a young Catholic girl. It's so crazy that that's how they started their entire organization. And they are still trying to sanitize Leo Frank and pretending that it was an issue. Where it was just, anti-Semitism. He's a very powerful guy, Leo Frank. Anti-Semitism. And that person's name is Mary Fagan. He married young, he killed young Mary Fagan, and he was a creep, and he was gross. So, yeah, I say these things, I tell the truth, and I obviously have become a target, but the only way you can combat it is through prayer. And I also think publicity, like me. And so I'm going to discuss every element of it. I am not scared about the plausibility of me being deposed. I'm not afraid about discovery, because there's nothing to hide. I mean, discovery will show that I got into this case not even because of Xavier Poussard, but because I was reading an article one night. They could bring in PBD, Patrick Bet David, Vincent O'Shana, the night at the UFC, the night that I first fell into the story because of the Daily Mail. And it would just show that I got into this entirely organically. I am not funded by anyone. And I'm passionate about this case because it's just a scary idea that an entire state can collude with the media to hide something this big, right? It's totally demented, and somebody has to have the courage to bring these cases to the forefront. Anyways, you guys, last up, we have Lamp007. They write, Candace, you are right to fear people that are trying to add tech to your body. The best way to get people to accept the mark of the beast is by obscuring it as binary or as a code, and then you make it easy to use for purchases. Yeah, no chance. I am so off the AI train. I am so off of like technology going into your body. I don't even buy the Elon Musk story. Like I said, I believe in the Midas touch thing. They have these people, they're all state actors. They work for the military one way or the other. And they pretend these people are like geniuses and they founded this tech company in their garage. They're always in their garage, right? I was just in my garage fluffing around and boop, Google. I was just fluffing around in my garage and YouTube and Elizabeth Theranos. Oh yeah, I was just fluffing around and I don't know. I got into this. I dropped out of Stanford and yeah, I just was a genius, but also have one of the wealthiest families ever. It's like the world is a stage and these people are actors and they're handed stuff. Here's this tech and we're actually using it because we want more control over the population, but we need to make people believe that democracy is real and that the free market is real, and that they are able to do the same thing and climb to the top, when in reality, we have all the power. That's my perception. Would love to hear what your guys' ideas are on that. Anyways, you guys, we are over. We're in an hour. So I hope you forgive me for being late because we did an extra 20 minutes today. I love that somebody just wrote in the chat, the garage bullshit. Yeah, that's, you know what, Trump, if you're looking for bullshit, it's the stupid garage that all of these old families, he's go, oh, I just magically came up with Apple. I was just in a garage fluffing around, you know, working on my car and boop, Apple. Anyways, you guys, we will see you tomorrow.